Los Angeles friendos, join Going In Raw as we go live on stage with Wrestling With Regrets Brian Zane September 24th at the Nerdist Showroom in L.A. The link to tickets is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friend, I'm Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscription button and the little notify bell next to it. And hopefully, we'll get more subs. We got a bunch of subs thanks to our video about our friends over at formerly at What Culture doing their stuff. And so, it's great. So now we're like firmly past 182,000. What are you looking at?
You have a bunch of hair on your shirt.
Well, they can't see that. Why are you pointing it out?
Looks like dog hair.
Speaking of dog hair, how about that SmackDown last night? I should say dog shit.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Anyways, we're also available on Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 55 people watching right now in the secret unlisted Patreon live stream. Very fancy. We're also available at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I got too much on my mind these days, Larson.
Really?
We got a long week coming up.
We do.
We can't really talk on what we're going to do after we go to LA, but we're doing something that's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Monday morning, this is exciting. So Sunday.
Yes, Sunday. Doing a live show with Brian Zane from Wrestling With Regret.
Yeah.
Meltdown Comics, their Nerdist Showroom, 1 p.m.
Yeah.
This Sunday, same day as No Mercy. Plenty of time to make the live show and then go to No Mercy. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out. LA Weekly is calling it the pick of the week.
Pick of the week.
I don't know if they've released that info yet or if we're even supposed to have it, but that's what I hear in the grapevine anyways. Mm-hmm. So there's that. That should be a lot of fun. And then we're going to No Mercy. Then we're doing some very secret fun stuff.
But Monday morning, we have something that's fun that we can talk about.
We're going to be on the ETC show, back with our friendos Ricky and Elliot. That's going to be exciting. You guys have probably seen out there, if you go to our Twitter account, you can see a clip from, it was sort of spring of 2015. We were doing the summer movie preview for 2015.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever laughed that much.
That was a lot of laughing that day.
In my life. And it's become somewhat of a cult classic at this point.
It's going to be hard to top.
So, yeah, I'm not looking to top it. It's kind of like Omega Okada.
Yeah, the second thing is to be something completely different.
We want to do something completely different. I think it's just we're going to be on their podcast set. Or their morning, I think it's our morning live stream.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're doing that.
Yeah.
So that should be a lot of fun. I really do kind of want to do like a preview of the fall movies from 2015.
No, because we are on Summer Movie Preview 2015 Part 1.
We need to do Part 2 still.
So that's what we should do.
I know.
I'll go make a list of all the movies that came out in the second half of 2015.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then we can do a Summer Movie Preview.
No, I like it. We'll say hit or shit.
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm slowly going to get a little looser with my language.
Okay.
Just to test out. Because here's the thing. Full disclosure, because we brought this to everybody's attention back when it was going on. It was a thing. And I noticed Grimm had mentioned this, at least on Twitter, maybe in one of his videos, that for us anyways, and apparently for Grimm, which I would hope means most of the wrestling community, YouTube seems to be working okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our monetization revenue has been going back up. Again, a big thanks to the patrons out there, though, because honestly, without them, it would have been like, oh, my God, really time to, you know, look at what's going on here. We didn't get hit as bad as a lot of people out there, and apparently a lot of people out there are still getting hit pretty bad. Hopefully, everything will get sorted out for them, too. But right now, things are looking pretty good in the YouTube sphere. So that's a lot of fun. All right, man, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the SmackDown show.
Do we have to?
You know, anybody out there who says I have a raw, but it's so funny looking at the comments sometimes because I think I'm kind of all over the map when it comes to what biases I might have.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to call it just like as I see it in terms of what entertains me.
I mean, you have your opinions.
My predilections.
You like and things you don't like, but I don't necessarily think you have a prominent raw bias. You feel like Raw, thanks to its history largely, and it's the fact that it's been on the air for almost 30 years mm-hmm. is the A show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Vince agrees with you.
Yeah. Oh, so we got a question here really quick on the Patreon that's sort of relevant to everybody. Programming note. Somebody asked if we were going to be doing a dirt sheet on Monday.
No, but usually the Mondays following pay-per-views, we don't do a dirt sheet. We do a pay-per-view recap, and that will still be happening.
Oh, that's right. And we should have a special guest for that.
Yes. It won't be live stream, unfortunately.
It won't be live streamed because I think we're going to do it after the,
right after the show.
Right
yeah.
after the show. But it should be a lot of fun. We got a special guest coming yes. in for that, hopefully still. So, yeah, that's that.
Anyways, on to SmackDown.
On to SmackDown, yeah.
Show kicked off with Shane coming out, dropping a promo, and more or less just saying that the entire McMahon family is going to come after Kevin Owens. That was the general idea.
There was all of... I'm looking at the notes here. My goodness, yeah, dude, there was all... Look, anybody who actually watches, like, pays attention to the show on a weekly basis, I'm usually really effusive of SmackDown.
Yeah,
I usually... Dude, I pony up my couch over there. You see, I got my pillow over there. Mm-hmm. That's actually Bama's pillow. And I put it on my PlayStation View, and I'm, like, usually really hyped for it. Last night, for the first time in a very long time, SmackDown was a complete slog.
Mm-hmm.
There was one thing about the show that I was really actually into. That was the main event. The main event was decent.
Rusev saying Rusev number one was my high point.
I mean, that's a gif right there. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was great. I love Rusev.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense for him to book a match right after Orton already had a match. Anyways,
well,
yeah.
It does for Rusev. Makes all the sense in the world.
Shane comes out. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Shane McMahon comes out, drops a promo, and tries his best to bring some fire to it because the punchline there... what did he say? I sentence you to hell.
I condemn you.
I condemn you. Kevin Owens, I condemn you, and I condemn you to hell in the cell. He said hell in the cell. Because even, look, up until I don't know, a year
still
ago.
Still thought it was hell in the cell.
I used to get kind of confused, too.
And not hell in a cell.
But I'm not a member of the McMahon family, so it's kind of okay with
me. But also, he was away for a while.
Yeah, I know, but still, man. It's hell in a cell, not hell in the cell. And that's a small point, but it's literally the name of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know.
I mean, it's kind of akin to him saying, I can't, you know, pointing to WrestleMania sign and saying, I'm going to see you at the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of akin to that. You're getting it slightly off.
Just slightly.
Yeah, a little bit. So, I don't know. And again, you know, Shane McMahon, I just feel like, I don't know if it's because of his old age. Or his older, I mean, he's not, you know, super old guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just, you know, more mature now. He used to have a lot more spark in his promos.
He did.
And I know he's trying to be sort of mild-mannered face GM guy.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
get that.
Yeah, he's supposed to be an older, more wiser
yeah.
Shane McMahon.
But he needs to dial it up a little bit. He always just sounds like he has a head cold.
Yeah.
He always just sounds like he has a head cold. Like he's got something going on in his sinuses.
Yeah,
back
it does
there.
Sound that way.
He sounds like I kind of sound.
Yeah,
now,
like
you
do now.
Got some stuff going on with my.
It's not good.
My sinuses, man. Anyways,
not good. After that, Aiden English comes out, sings.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton comes out for his match against Aiden English.
Yeah.
It was an okay match, interrupted by a commercial break.
Yeah.
The finish saw Aiden English jump off the second rope.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden RKO. Orton wins. Rusev comes out, drops a promo, again says how losing to Orton was such an embarrassment that he could barely go home.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Let's talk about this Aiden English match a second here. You're getting ahead of yourself. Aiden English was actually put on a pretty decent match against
Randy Orton. He had the upper hand for a portion of it.
Put him through a table.
No, he
bounced him off a table.
Belly to back.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Table, like
yeah.
Orton usually does.
He didn't like put him through the table,
no,
but
no,
he bounced him off the table.
Yeah, it was a decent enough
he
man.
He got in. Aiden English looks like a stud. I wonder if he like shaved his head if he can get further. Because he's got the balding
there.
But he looks great. His midsection is really thin.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's because muscle, right?
I know, but it's lean muscle. All
yeah,
lean muscle.
It's all lean muscle. And I don't know why I found that funny when you said it's lean muscle.
All lean muscle.
He's like a fitness coach. You want all lean muscle.
Long and lean.
Exactly. Like his little waist is like just so tiny.
I know.
Yeah. And he's so chalky. But I like Aiden English. I like that he was singing Randy Orton's theme song.
Oh, I know.
But with his own lyrics.
I know, and like insulting Randy Orton a bit.
Beef mixtape. What do you call it? Diss track.
Yeah.
He was dropping a diss track on Randy Orton.
He was.
So anyway, I'm sorry. Look, I'm not going to let you just skim past the Aiden English match. Then,
by all means, chime in, man.
No, that's pretty much it. That's all I had to say.
All right, well, he lost anyways.
He did.
Rusev came out afterwards while Orton was kind of celebrating as much as Randy Orton does.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you know, said he was an he was an embarrassment to his family back home.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was here to rectify it. He wanted a match right here, right now.
Yeah, why did they let that happen? Okay, that was my thing. Yeah, it makes sense for Rusev. Why did they let that happen?
I guess if Orton was cool with it, Rusev's cool with it, the rest cool with it, why not?
I don't remember like the camera cutting to Orton saying, go ahead, ring that bell.
But the ref did ring the bell.
I'm good. Yeah, I know, but like...
So Orton must have agreed to it.
I don't... That should have been explained better. Look, man, whenever they have matches of pay-per-views, they do public contract signings.
Not every time.
Okay, well, that's still... I would think
we
that...
We haven't seen a contract signing between Lesnar and Strowman, and we're not going to see it.
I would think that means, okay, but in the universe, in kayfabe, which we always like to talk about,
mm-hmm.
does everybody sign a contract for a match?
Verbal contract.
Are you serious?
They all agree to it.
Is that?
Well, I'm not going to shake
your
hand.
You just got nervous right there.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to shake your hand because you have to spit in it when you're potentially dealing with illness.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, Steve.
Not going to happen.
So anyways, Rusev.
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 Machka.
Rusev gets in the ring, tries for a kick. Orton evades. I think Rusev pushes Orton to the ropes. Right. Aiden English gets on the apron that time.
Mm-hmm.
They collide. Orton's kind of distracted. He turns around. Rusev kicks him in the face, gets the win. 10-second win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Rusev celebrating as if he's a new champion.
Rusev, Machka. Yeah, Rusev was really, really happy about that. I just don't understand. I was like, wait, why? In the storyline, in kayfabe, in the universe, how did that match happen?
Verbal contract.
Oh, binding. Man. Orton never would have said, yeah, we're good to go. Or, I mean, it would have been a real badass moment. Either you show it to show how badass Orton is, or you just like, it's just confusing at that point.
I mean, that was the idea. They wouldn't do something that seemed very rushed.
Yeah. I don't know. It didn't make it. Again, I'm just sitting there watching SmackDown. I'm like, that didn't make any sense.
No, I know. You know, I just went along with
dude,
it.
I know you're playing. I know you're playing devil's advocate. I know you're going along with it. But
I'm
like,
just trying to find an explanation for it.
No, which is part of the fun. Like, yeah. Honestly, these days, like trying to find an explanation within kayfabe is hilarious. Like the AJ Styles Open Challenge. You just show up at Gorilla.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Is there a line
in front
waiting?
Of you? Do you have a debate? Do you talk about it? Do you negotiate? You say, well, you can have it this time, but next time it's me.
Yeah.
Who knows? So after that, Rusev celebrating in the arena. Renee Young approaches him. Rusev saying how happy he is. He can now go home and hold his head high up proud.
Yeah.
And he starts chanting, Rusev number one.
Mission accomplished.
Rusev number one. Rusev number one. It
and
was great.
We found out today Rusev was granted his release. So they let him go out on a high note. Not actually true.
Not
Didn't
true. That
happen.
Would have been on daily
Not confirmed.
If that was the story.
Yeah. Would have been. Are we going to get those two at Hell in a Cell, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't. I mean, what's Randy Orton going
to... How about this? They should have a beat the clock challenge.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
You see if the other person can beat the other under 10 seconds.
In Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's Orton going to come out and say to, like, initiate that, to keep that going.
Well, I mean, he can say, well, I'd never really start the match. Yeah. I mean, that happened.
He can explain what happened. I was still coming to from beating Aiden English.
I know. I just dropped an RKO out of nowhere on him. I was still hearing the voices in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of them spoke through me to the ref. Okay, but that wasn't really Randy Orton talking.
It was one of the aforementioned
voices. It was one of
the
voices in my head.
All right, Larson, let's talk about Jinder Mahal.
Do we have to?
And his racist promo, which apparently the Washington Post picked up.
It was not good.
Yeah. I don't So here this is my biggest issue with this. So I mean, we'll just run down real quick. Jinder Mahal comes out and he starts doing the same crap he did last week,
showing pictures of Nakamura on the Titantron.
Yeah, and this time the gag was there wasn't different pictures;
it was
the
same
picture
one,
over and over again. He did sort of the racist stuff again. Used some, I guess they call it English. Which I think even that phrase might be offensive. I don't even know anymore. So much stuff is offensive. And then he made a crack about Mr. Miyagi and like the Bollywood boys were doing some karate moves and stuff.
And then the crowd started chanting, "That's too far."
I appreciate that about the crowd though. Even the crowd was like, oh, "Look, there's a line. There's a line that you shouldn't be crossing." I mean, even they're sitting there. They paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, he makes the point, I guess, this is what you're to expect. Evidently, he thinks Shinsuke winning is a foregone conclusion because he keeps on talking about it. This is what to expect when you win my championship.
Oh, that's a good point. I essentially, thought about that, yeah.
You know, it's like he's not saying you're not going to win this.
There's no if. There's, yeah. It's when, huh?
Yeah. Essentially. Here's my main problem with this, because the racist stuff, yeah, is it racist technically? But it's so dumb and silly that it's like, I mean, it's not. It's so silly that it's hard for me to be like, oh, this is too much. Like, there's too much and there's too much. My main problem with it is it's repetitive. Like, my thing is, who sat down and said, okay, what are we going to do for gender this week? Same exact thing we did last week. What are we going to do for Dolph this week?
Same exact thing we've done the last 2 weeks.
What is that? Who approves that?
I don't know.
Who thinks that's a good idea to say, 2 weeks in a row, let's do the exact same damn thing? Who thinks that's a good idea?
I don't know.
Because it's not. You don't read one book of a one chapter out of a book.
And turn the next chapter and it's the exact same
words. And it's verbatim the exact same thing, because that's essentially what was happening here.
Maybe we should write that book.
Because
it's a pretty easy book to write.
Dude, that offends me more than the racism. And I'm as liberal as I get. Like, I think everybody should be respectful to each other. That ain't that hard to ask. Well, I don't think it's too much to ask for.
I wouldn't think so.
So, yeah, I get offended at stuff like that. But I didn't. I mean, I was more offended at, like, this just repetitive crap.
It's an odd choice, considering what gender did last week, and it wasn't as if it was received well.
Yeah,
and then someone thought, you know what, let's just double down on that.
Yeah,
and like, what did they expect?
Here's the thing: it wasn't even a doubling down of it. It was like just a different version of the same thing.
Didn't he pretty much preface his whole thing to like saying, well, if you didn't like last week, you're really not going to like what I'm going to say this week?
Yeah, but the content really wasn't that bad. Wasn't that much more bad. So last week he said Godzilla, doing the English thing.
Yeah.
And this, instead of saying looks, he said rooks. Okay. So he's doing that stuff, which is like, it's offensive in the most childish way possible. That is actually totally offensive. But it's not like one isn't really worse than the other. None of what happened this week was all that much worse than last week. So he didn't really say, oh, I mean, he did say that. You're right. He said, if you didn't like last week, then get a load of what I got this week. It really wasn't that much worse. He didn't really double down. It was the same tone. Like, it wasn't more offensive than it was last week. You know? So he doesn't even have that benefit of like, oh, he went even further. He crossed more lines. No, he crossed the same exact lines last week. It just, who says, look, it's WWE. I know we've kind of been there before. You know, it's like, well, we had Braun Roman last week in a last man standing match. Let's have more destruction this week. At least you're getting variations of destruction.
Well, at least there's something happening.
That's the thing. I'm fine if the action is repetitive. If two bastards are in there fighting each other week after week. If it's Braun and Brock or Braun and Roman, I was entertained like that I can watch big bastards fight each other all day long. I can watch, I know that we've sort of complained about the Seth and Ambrose and Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah.
We can go round and round with them. But by and large, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'll give it more of a pass if it's a match.
Yeah. I mean, it's not boring.
Right. I'm not going to call it out and be like, oh, this is, they gave them a 20-minute match on Raw.
For the third week in a row.
Like, you know what?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, I might not care necessarily because there's really no stakes involved, but I'm not going to criticize them putting on wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm.
If you have literally the same, Dolph Ziggler, third week in a row.
Same exact thing.
Third week in a row that he did the exact same thing, just with different.
And this is like the laziest attempt yet.
I know. It was, and I was like, I fully expected. Last week I said, oh, okay, so this week, Hell in a Cell's coming up. He's going to do it again last week. This is what I said. He's going to do it again next week, and this time Bobby Roode will come out, and they'll get their thing started. It seemed like a foregone conclusion that something would actually develop with this Dolph Ziggler thing.
But no.
That they would actually kick off a feud. But no, it's just more of the same. And that's what I don't understand, is that they get their scripts ready. What are we going to do this week for this? The same thing we did last week.
And again, it wasn't as if the last 2 weeks with Dolph was received terribly well.
Right, exactly. Literally,
it's like even he has run out of things to say. How many times did he say, you don't care, I don't care, you some don't variation
care,
of that.
And I don't care.
That was the entire, like, if you count the number of times he said that phrase,
yeah,
it probably numbers in the dozens.
I know.
Just last night.
Exactly.
It's like he's running out of things to say.
Yeah.
Because it's such a shallow, empty gimmick he's got
it's
going.
It's like they book their show on a whiteboard, and they just simply didn't erase what they did.
That could be.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I don't get it. It's so repetitive. It's absolutely repetitive, and I just don't look, man. You need some. It needs to be dynamic from week to week. You need to up the odds. You need to shift around. You need to do something that's different. I don't get how the Dolph thing, and I don't get how the gender thing was any different than what we got the week before, or with Dolph's case, the week before that.
Yeah. So after the Jinder Mahal segment, we get a backstage interview with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
And Renee Young asks him, what do you think about what just happened? Mm-hmm. And he says...
he said it was funny.
It was funny, but what's not going to be funny is when I take the title off him.
Yeah.
And he just walks away.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like creative needs to have Nakamura get involved a bit more.
I mean, look,
physically.
I would love to say next week he's going to come out and murder the Bollywood boys or something.
Because like in NXT, it seems like on SmackDown they're basing his entire character on this artist thing,
mm-hmm.
rather than in NXT. Granted, the artist wasn't part of his packaging whatsoever.
Yeah,
but Shinsuke has such superhuman charisma.
Yeah,
that he connected with the audience just based on that. And he could still go out there and fight mm-hmm. and beat people up.
Yeah.
And people would love him. They're not letting him go out there and fight and beat people up for whatever reason. He needs that aspect of his character. He needs to go out there and start kicking people.
I know.
That needs to happen. Yeah. It needs to happen.
I know.
It should have happened last week. It should have happened last night.
I know. And you know what? You know the really sad thing is that something tells me that WWE is going to look at the Washington Post and think that, you know, they picked it all. They picked it up in mainstream press. Let's do it again. You know, whoa, that was not.
Yeah, you save your voice, man.
Not do that, Vince McMahon.
Save your voice. Part of me wonders if they keep, because I know Nakamura has been wrestling a lot of the dark matches after 205 Live, so they don't want him being involved physically at all.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to be in the dark match later in the show, just so people might buy a ticket thinking, I want to see a Kinshasa tonight.
Yeah.
So say he drops one on one of the Singh brothers during the actual taping, and they're like, okay, I really don't want to sit through 205 Live. I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then you're really shortchanging your larger audience, which is the people who watch your TV show on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Because the storylines just fall flat.
I know. I know. I honestly don't get it. But you have all this talent. You have like a wealth of talent. And it's like, I mean, at least with the AJ Styles Baron Corbin thing, didn't make a lick of sense, but at least we got some action there. You know,
at least there's storyline advancement.
Yeah, it's advancement. And hey, we got Taya Dillinger kicked up into the US title scene.
I know, that's
fantastic.
Cool.
So let's talk about that now.
Yeah.
AJ Styles comes out, drops a promo on Baron Corbin saying that he's essentially a shortcut artist. He likes to take the shortcut. And I liked his promo. I thought it was
Before he said that, he started talking about Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, pretty much, you got yourself in a world of hurt here messing with the McMahons.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that. That's good. He's sort of tying it all together.
Yes.
That's good. He has the open challenge. Of course, last week, Baron Corbin said,
no open challenge. It's only open to Baron.
It is an open challenge. Open to Baron.
If anybody comes to the gorilla and says, hey, man, you're not me.
Yeah.
I'm answering open challenge.
Hey, I called dibs. You're not dibs. I called dibs. You're not me. Anyways, so before the bell even starts, Baron Corbin lays into AJ Styles, starts destroying him as he does that. And it's kind of obvious the match isn't ever actually going to start. Ty Dillinger comes out to help out his buddy, AJ Styles, who was gracious enough last week to give him an open challenge.
They shook hands at the end.
Exactly. So they're friends. This launches Ty Dillinger into, who would have thought that Ty Dillinger would be in the U.S. title scene? Oh, get that finger out of there.
This guy.
You didn't let me finish my second clause.
Oh.
And Bobby Roode wouldn't be on TV for a...
Third straight week.
I don't think you can point the finger at anybody in that one, man.
Well, I can point the finger at Vince.
There you go. Or you can point it at, oh, you didn't know?
Bobby Roode's not on TV tonight. But he wasn't in the dark match either, so I guess I don't know what they're doing. It's so confusing.
You have Bobby Roode. People paid money to go see that glorious entrance.
The depth of SmackDown's roster, or I should say with the depth of SmackDown's roster, it seems like it's kind of an easy show to write. Don't you think?
You would think it writes itself.
Yeah.
I know, exactly, dude. You got a wealth of talent. Give me a break. Anyways, Ty Dillinger runs out. Hey, you know what? We look for the positive, man. Ty Dillinger is now launched in the U.S. title scene.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Oh,
I'm
heck
really,
yes.
I'm really hoping. Oh, so then Baron saw. Hey, and
he sold that leg
credit,
injury.
Credit
good.
To Baron.
Yeah.
I was for a second. I was like, that looks like he's really hurting on
I know,
that leg
he sold
right
it
there.
Really well.
Because, yeah, Ty, like, attacked Baron and then sent him out of the ring.
He did, like, a chop block on him or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, he ran in. Yeah, he chopped his knee. That's right. And then Baron was really selling the leg really well. AJ ended up putting Baron in the calf crusher, which, of course, you know, on the same leg that he
works
busted.
Works the lower leg.
Exactly. He started tapping out. Looks like we might get
some sort of triple threat.
I would love that. Ty Dillinger inserted into the United States title scene.
Great.
Something good comes out of SmackDown Live this week.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
All right. Notch that in the positive column.
Baron Corbin interview with Renee Young. He talks about how he sprained his ankle.
Right.
He's very
right,
upset. Right. He's really losing that hair on top of his head.
Well, we just saw NXT Rival when he had a tad more. So it wasn't, and maybe you're just thinking of that.
No, he meaning like it's really thin up there.
It is very thin up there. I know. He should just wear a beanie all the time.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because he wears that on his Instagram
when
he's out and about. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, just a different hat every week. Or that, a different hat every week.
That's good.
Sometimes a cowboy hat, like a rodeo type thing. Top hat.
A beret.
Yeah, have Toni Storm borrow that little floating top hat that she has.
Yeah, a bowler.
A bowler, there you go. A cap.
Yeah, a baseball cap.
A
beanie you mentioned already.
I mentioned the beanie. How about like one of those gimmick hats you get at Disneyland with the Mickey ears?
Okay, that's good. I was going to say get a fancy hat like you'd wear the Kentucky Derby.
What about a little helicopter hat?
Oh, that's good.
Like a little kid.
Yeah, that's good too.
Spin around. Hey, you.
Hey, man, don't wear that hat. You're not me.
A helmet.
Yeah.
A football helmet.
I mean, there's a variety of helmets you can wear.
You're Hockey opening up helmet, a whole new wealth
football
of
helmet,
helmets.
Motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
Army helmet.
Yeah, that'd be good. A hoodie with a hood up.
Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah. I mean, we can go all day here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, what about a do-rag?
A derby.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, moving on.
Next, Charlotte comes
out. I like that's a note in your notes. Baron is really losing his hair.
Well, that's a thought occurred to me.
Are you going to start bald-shaming me when I start going bald, too? When I start? Yeah, it doesn't look too bad up there.
I mean, I'm losing my hair, too, so I feel like I can do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, there you go. no, I said something not long ago. I forget what it was. And I think you were like, oh, man, that could be borderline offensive. And I was like, my mom was born in Paraguay,
so I can say that.
I said they're really close with each other, so I don't know, something like that. It was Alberto El Patron, I think. Anyways.
Yeah, I remember what you said.
Next up, Charlotte came out. She returned from spending some time with her father, legendary Ric Flair.
Who seems to be, I think he's out of the hospital.
He's on the mend.
Yeah.
He's on the mend. They got that new book out, Second Nature. It's over there somewhere. We're going to announce winners of that contest this Sunday. and she came out and said, you know what? You know, it was real touch and go there. It was real life and death there with my dad. And it got me thinking, life is short. Take advantage of every single moment. That's an opinion. That's a thought I can agree with, Larson, about you.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Good. Yeah. I like that. So she says, so I am going to take the title off Natalia. Natalia comes out and she starts saying that, you know what?
She has a prop with her.
She has a big picture of herself.
Well, that was the reveal that would happen.
Oh, right, right. But she was saying that she is, what, like a symbol for
she's saying,
feminism
or
women?
She's saying that she would come out here to celebrate women.
Yeah.
She said, paraphrasing, that we're going to celebrate women by celebrating one woman,
mm-hmm.
and that woman was Natalia.
Yeah. Exactly. I actually really liked it. I like Natalia in this role.
Yeah.
I think she's good.
But anyways, Becky Lynch came out and said, no, that women's title is coming back home around my waist.
Oh, and I loved her. I loved when she came. She was pretty. She was very fairly amusing.
Yeah.
Like, her lines were actually pretty good.
Naomi comes out. She wants the belt, too.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody Rina comes out with Lana. They want the belt, too.
They want belt.
Ravishing Revolution, all that kind of stuff. Daniel Bryan business. Comes out. Daniel Bryan says, we have a fatal four-way match. Winner gets a title shot at Hell in a Cell. Hell
Correct.
In the Cell. Hell in the Cell.
Oh, are you Shane McMahon over here? Yeah, so that was
cool. Be the main event for the night.
Good segment right there.
Yeah.
Solid segment. Next up, we had the New Day versus Hype Bro.
There is a trouble afoot in the land of Hype Bro.
That's true. Usos are on commentary. Mm-hmm. And I love the Usos.
They're great.
Because they're great, man. They're heel, but like sort of inching towards tweener.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not like rude to everybody at commentary. They took offense when Byron Saxon said former tag team champions. They're like, you know, why do you have to drop the former in there? You know, they weren't being overly aggressive.
Yeah, and you know, a couple weeks ago they had a segment with Daniel Bryan backstage.
Oh, it was great.
And there was no tension, no animosity.
I know. They're just real guys, you know, and they pointed out legitimately they have a disadvantage when it comes to the New Day. 3-on-2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
spotted briefly, very quickly, going in Raw shirt ringside.
Booyah. You know who that was?
We've met him before.
Okay. I don't remember his name.
Don't remember his name, though. Sorry. But yeah. We've met him before. Kofi Kingston picked up the pin on Zack Ryder after Midnight Hour.
Mm-hmm.
New Day retained the titles. Later on in the show, we get a bit with the Hype Bro backstage. Mojo, he is tired of losing. He says it might be time for a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zack Ryder just kind of stood there and listened.
It was framed very like Shakespearean as well, because Mojo was staring off, talking about it, while Zack Ryder was behind him. You know, he was like, "Yeah, man, time for." I loved it. I love Mojo when he's sincere and earnest. It's great.
That's
earnest Mojo is my favorite. So I wonder what this change is. Is it going to be heel tactics as a team? Is it going to be splitting up? I like that it's some sort of story, though.
Yeah.
They gave them 30 seconds to
reflect.
So that was good. I like that. Hey, anytime Mojo Rawley's on the screen, I'm happy.
Yes. Kevin Owens wasn't at the arena, but he did do an interview via satellite.
Yeah.
He apologizes to the entire McMahon family for what happened. He said he just lost his mind, didn't know how he lost control. But he does not apologize to Shane. In fact, he blames Shane for the entire attack, saying that when he was shaking Vince's hand, he more or less kind of blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of seeing Vince there, he saw Shane.
Yeah.
Lost his mind, beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
That was the gist of what he said. He was also, it seems to me, reading from a script on his lap.
Oh, man.
But I mean, when I saw that, I was like, is he reading from a script? Maybe he just got that before they started or something like that. I'm not trying to say Kevin Owens is not a pro, because he's a pro.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, I don't know if I'd, yeah.
Yeah, he turned the whole thing around back on Shane. You know, he essentially said, Shane, this is your fault. He apologized, and he walked it back and said, Shane, this is your fault.
Yeah. And if he wasn't reading from a script, then I don't know. It looked like he was reading from a script. He just, like, looked down a lot.
Yeah, maybe he was acting like he was reading from a script. Like,
oh, actually, I thought that when he was doing the first part of his thing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's like he just wrote a statement, and he was reading it because he felt like he had to.
Right.
As opposed to something he wanted to say.
Yeah.
But then he kept doing it afterwards. So I thought maybe he just got his script, got his lines. 2 minutes before, and it's like, I can't memorize all this in 2 minutes.
He posted an Instagram the other day, a very adorable Instagram, saying, I can't wait to get back to my family.
Oh, I saw that too.
And I was like, you know what, man, you know what? He's doing this live via satellite. All he cares about is getting back to that family.
I know.
Good for him.
I know, good for him.
That must be terrible. Like, you know, you spend how many days?
5 days on the road.
15 years in the indies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's one thing the Young Bucks talk about is being able to see their family.
A lot more,
quite a bit. And going from that sort of lifestyle to the WWE, which obviously the travels are
5 days on the road every week, 2 days, not even a full 2 days at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must be rough. So,
I know. I mean,
hopefully he's enjoying family time.
Oh, absolutely. I know live via backstage. He was obviously backstage.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, there was like,
I was hoping it was live from his garage
screens and stuff in the background, like production equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, we had
Dolph.
Then we had Dolph.
So he came out as Triple H. But Triple H just has a bunch of flashing lights. And like his entrance, what he does is really anything. He just spits water.
Yeah.
And he did a really bad job of doing Triple H. Except for his posture.
Yeah, I don't even get the point of. I mean, okay, Triple H, maybe, but HBK How could you possibly say that HBK is all flash and not?
I know. There's like, substance to what he like what he does on the ramp. There's a reason he does that.
Yeah, but on top of that, like if his point is anybody can do this stuff, but not anybody can do what I can do in the ring. Well, HBK could.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like I just okay. Ultimate Warrior, I kind of get from like last week. And I forget who else he parodied, but like
he did Macho Man. Macho Man was a great wrestler, great athlete.
Yeah, kind of only. I mean, his thesis only kind of works when you're talking about wrestlers who are more style than substance.
Mm-hmm. You can't really say that even about Triple H.
No, I know. I totally know
about HBK.
But HBK, it's like best in ring performers. It's usually like HBK and Flair, and not always in that order. But yeah. Sometimes in that order. Yeah. Depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah,
it's HBK and Flair, and then maybe Steamboat, maybe Savage, I don't know.
But it'd be one thing if he were actually really good at mimicking their introductions and their entrances, but he's really not.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can walk like this when doing Triple H.
Yeah. I like this note here. He said when he did DX, it should have been X Factor.
Yeah, because he said something like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was along the lines of,
I got all my friends on my mind and I don't know what
else. Sort of like scraping the bottom of the barrel or something like that.
Yeah. And he should start getting really obscure. It was the last night that the crowd started chanting CM Punk.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were hurting, like read that wrong. They weren't chanting CM Punk because they were bored. They wanted to see him do the CM Punk entrance. I'm pretty sure that's why they were chanting that.
It could be.
Like, do that now.
Yeah.
Like, if we have to sit here through this crap, will you take requests?
I know. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Can I make a request? Do Big Show. Well, only it was Vasily music. Okay, great. Now do Mark Henry. Oh, man. Then anyways, we had our main event.
But yeah, he kept on talking more and more about he doesn't care. The audience doesn't care. No one cares. And that's all he says.
You're right, Dolph.
No one cares.
Nobody cares about this.
Nobody cares. That's why no one reacts to your entire segment.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Exactly. Like,
because it's boring.
Yeah.
It's redundant. It's not good, Dolph.
It's not good.
And if that's not your idea, that's a bummer. If that is your idea,
then good luck.
Yeah.
With all that. Good luck with your stand-up career.
Yeah.
Maybe he does the same thing in the stand-up circuit. It starts mimicking like other.
He just comes out and does like 2 minutes of Jerry Seinfeld and then two minutes of
Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. next up.
Oh, that's not good enough for you. Well, you're not laughing at that.
You're not laughing at that. Well, you don't care, and I don't care.
I'm going to do 2 minutes of Chappelle now.
I'm going to do 2 minutes of Brian Regan.
Next, our main event, Becky versus Tamina versus Naomi versus Charlotte. Winner, number one contender for women's title. This match was on for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and there was a commercial break.
Yeah.
I really don't like that.
Look, man, WWE. I understand
there's bills to be paid, but you can
space things out.
At least drop the commercial break like in the middle of the match. The match just started.
Yeah.
Just started. You take a commercial break.
Yeah, dude. They got to do their entrances. But better at the beginning than at the end. Got to get
That's
their money.
The point.
It's main event. Got to get
then
their
do
money.
Do the commercial break during all the entrances.
We already
saw them come out during the segment earlier in the night.
I love entrances.
I do too, but we already saw their entrances when they came out to the ring for the promo. We don't need to see all their entrances again. We didn't see all their entrances again. We only saw Naomi and Charlotte's.
Sure.
Don't need to see them all.
I like Becky Lynch's. Tamina's you don't need to see.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Naomi's you do.
Naomi's you have to.
Naomi's entrance is
Charlotte looks like $1 million, and Becky looks like $1 million.
Yeah, I know.
Do
I'm
a
just saying,
commercial
we've seen
break,
already.
Give it like an extra long Tamina entrance. Anyways, but don't did they do the split screen thing for this?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
All right.
Why don't they do the split screen thing for Dolph's segment?
That would be great. That would be hilarious.
That's what they should do.
Because you don't need to hear what he's saying.
No, because he says the same thing.
You see him do a bunch of entrances?
Over and over again. You don't care. I don't care. No one cares. There's Dolph's promo.
Can we please get a Dolph shirt that says that? You don't care. I don't care. No one cares.
Yes.
Oh, man, it's so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a fun match, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
I feel like Tamina forgot what to do for the first, like, sequence of the match, though.
Yeah.
Because she started, like...
There was a couple moments where I felt like there was various people kind of were not exactly on the...
I feel like Tamina was supposed to be...
Chemistry wasn't exactly
there. Tamina was supposed to be kind of the anchor of the match, and I feel like she just completely forgot what to do.
Maybe.
Yeah, I feel like that was kind of the case. Because a lot of the action hinged around... You know, she's sort of the Nia Jax of the roster. And so a lot of the action hinged around her and trying to topple her. And it just...
didn't work.
Yeah, it just didn't work. Like, you could tell Charlotte... Charlotte sometimes has to work overtime for some people, like when she was fighting Lana.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she literally is like, hit me.
I know. Literally pin me. That.
Yeah, okay, pin me now. Yeah, she's laying on the ground.
No, no.
Oh, man. She has a poor Charlotte. She doesn't go in there with, like, why don't we have a Charlotte Becky Lynch program right now? Just let them go at it NXT style.
I know.
Why are they wasting their time?
Becky is such a good wrestler.
Oh, I know.
She's a really good wrestler. Couple high spots. Charlotte hit a moonsault on both Naomi and Tamina. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte puts the figure eight on Naomi, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Becky breaks it up with a top rope leg drop.
Hold on. KZ here in chat says, Steve is proving Ziggler's point. I like entrances and commercials are fine during in-ring wrestling. He got me there.
Oh,
Dolph got me.
Oh, goodness.
Dolph got
Again,
me.
Again, Dolph heel with a good point. Charlotte eventually wins with a boot to Tamina.
Yeah.
She's the new number one contender. We kind of saw this coming anyways.
Yeah. I like Charlotte had to do like a one-legged walk. Like she had to go to Tamina like this on one leg and like very softly go like that.
Oh, I know. I felt like Tamina was further
she
to
was,
her right than
yeah.
she was supposed to be.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Charlotte kind of like swing her leg around as Tamina passed by to get
yeah.
the
boot. So anyways, Charlotte got the win. Now she's the new number one contender. It's going to be good when she gets that title back.
Yep.
Because that really
Which is going
to
happen.
That needs to happen.
That's going
to
happen.
Like, come on. Enough games, enough of these games. Charlotte needs to get that title back. All
Did
right.
you watch Chris Jericho on Crisley at all?
No, man.
You going to watch Crisley's talk show?
I'm kind of over Crisley again. I kind of thought that he was amusing when it was like, you know, fabricated slice of life stuff. But now they're going all in on him. I'm completely tuned out.
Okay.
Like I saw, so this, you know, the PlayStation View records.
Yeah, the DVR in it.
30 seconds in advance.
Yeah.
And so when I flipped on SmackDown last night, like I caught the last hour live and the first hour after, like late at night when everybody's asleep. And so I turned on the View, the PlayStation View, and it was like the last moments of Crisley's talk show.
Yeah.
And it was just like him and his family, and then like his little kid was dressed up in a costume of some sort, and he was like dancing, and the crowd was like supposed to be cheering that. And I was like, that's not really the element that I want to see Crisley in. I want to see him in silly situations like art class or like bowling, you know, stuff like that. And then I want to see Crisley's take on life. But as a TV host, doesn't work for me. So that's a nay for Steve.
What did he do before he was on TV?
Real estate. Oh. Big real estate mogul.
How did he make that transition?
I don't know. I just know, you know, he's an eccentric dude.
Like some TV producer ran into him somehow.
Perhaps.
And thought this guy would make an entertaining TV show.
Maybe. Could be. Wouldn't surprise me. You know, he probably hobnobs with, I don't know where they're based out of, but somewhere in the South, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, no,
not really.
I don't know how that happens.
No, I find it.
It's probably a really boring story.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I was at a gathering with a bunch of hobnobs, big people.
Some party
people. And a TV producer came up to me and said, you'd be great.
And I said, sure.
I said, sure thing.
So answered some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Alex C.
Oh, crap. I went to the Patreon Help Center.
Oh, no. Alex C. Since this feud seems to be with the intent of making Owens a made man, how likely do you think it is that he'll win the Rumble this year?
Zero.
It's either going to be Reigns, Styles, or Nakamura. Those are the three people. Well,
Nakamura's going to have the title.
Yeah, so I guess it'd be either Styles or Reigns.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, okay.
If the plan, I mean, obviously the plan is
Didn't Orton win last year?
Yeah.
Orton, Randy Orton.
With Reigns, Lesnar being the main event. I'm going to say Reigns. It's in Philly again this year, next year.
Oh, they're going to try their hand at that?
Yeah.
See what reaction he gets this time around?
I know. Because you could set up AJ Nakamura without the Rumble. You don't need that.
Yeah, you're probably right. Are you really going to go with a Reigns finish again, though? I don't know, man.
Yeah, man, I hope they do. That'd be a huge troll of wrestling fans.
There you go. That's
just
a good reason.
Troll
that's
the fans.
That's a good reason for
Terrence
it.
Terrence Thompson's Uncensored. Is it just me, or does the women's division feel 100 times more legit when Charlotte is present? It definitely helps.
Yes, absolutely, because she is 100,000 times more legit. Correctamundo. Tim Morris, do you think Dolph should have acknowledged the CM Punk chance in any way? Yes.
Yeah.
He should have said.
He should have called an audible. He went backstage for DX. No one knew DX was going to happen next.
I know, exactly.
Just call an audible. Just say, cue up Cult of Personality.
Yeah.
All he has to do is kneel on the ground, play with some dirt, check his watch, say it's clobbered time.
Yeah, come on.
That's all he has to do.
Improv, Dolph. Where you?
I'm sure he's taking a class in that.
I'm sure he has, right? Man, he was in that movie playing as a cop.
But him. No, not him.
Not him.
But everybody else in WWE was.
Everybody else was them.
Including Rusev, who produced a gun at some point.
But who was Dolph Ziggler in that universe?
He was a police officer. I assume not named Dolph Ziggler. Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. What wrestler from your universe should have tights like Aiden English? I assume he means Fresno Unified Championship Wrestling.
What was he wearing last night?
I didn't notice. But he's had the Scream. He's had that George Seurat.
Yeah.
He's had Starry Night.
Yeah.
He's had some pants.
How about this?
Paint on them.
I'm going to get a character named Salvador Mali.
Mm.
He mauls people.
Mm.
And he, of course, he wears surrealist imagery.
Good. That's
you
good.
Like that? All right, you go now.
I'm going to create someone named Rene Defeat. Like Rene Magritte.
Yeah.
Again, another good. Surrealist. He can come out with the hat
yeah.
and just have an apple in front of his face.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's what I'll do. His name is Rene Magritte. Am I getting my artist mixed up? Nope. Yep, got it. Carrying on.
How about
art classes in college?
How about Vincent Van Vader?
Should just stop with your first one.
What's an aggressive term that rhymes with go?
Blow.
Vincent Van Blow.
Yeah.
Chris Kimmel, do you think there's any chance that Triple H and Stephanie could be behind Kevin Owens attacking Vince McMahon and going after Shane to try to gain control of the company?
Sure, that'd be good.
I'd be down for that.
At least the Triple H was involved. I mean, that's what they talked about all those months back.
Yeah, it could be.
Before the Festival of Friendship.
And he explained this elaborate plot in 15 seconds to him.
I know.
Hey, listen, Kevin, this is me. And then Kevin goes, damn it. Listen, I'll email you the details, all right? But this is a long-term thing.
Send it to me. I'm going to print a piece of paper and put it in my lap and read it. He might not have been reading the script. It just felt like it. Looked like
it. No, it's okay. Look, you can call that out. It's all right.
I love Kevin Owens. My favorite.
The Bulgarian Bruiserweight Aaron G. Power rank. Which entrances? Pa, 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 pa. I'm trying to mellow out on the power ranking.
You have to go 100%, man.
1,000%. Power rank. Which entrance does he like to see Dolph Ziggler do now?
His own. His own. His own. That's it.
1 through 5, his own. There you go.
He should come out, no music, no Titantron, if he really wants to prove a point, if he ever wrestles again.
Yeah, young lion at it.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, just black trunks.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
That'd be good.
That's what he should do. If he comes out with the Titantron, all that stuff, and he's a hypocrite.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Carnival Wilson in chat says Vincent Van Throw.
Oh, that's good. That's real good.
Vincent Van Throw.
That's really good.
That's good.
Patrick Sparks. Will we see a cash-in Sunday or just a tease of one? Carmella wasn't seen last night. If not, when does she cash in? No Mercy.
She was in a WWE exclusive. I think if they do anything, they should hide her until Charlotte.
No Mercy is a Raw show, too.
Well, it can, Hell in a Cell is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but he says Sunday. No Mercy is on Sunday.
Is he confused or is he thinking that she's going to trade brands? I think Patrick Sparks is a big fan of people crossing brands.
Well, it's a Raw show, so I don't think it's that.
That'd be a terrible idea. Hey, ever since they announced that Asuka's going to go on a Raw, you don't want to be over on Raw.
No, you want to leave Raw.
Yeah, you want to get out of there.
Nicholas Combs, between Jinder and Dolph, did we just have the same episode of SmackDown 2 weeks in a row, pretty much?
But it got worse somehow. So
it's because we've already seen it.
Yeah. BP Sculpin Deathlock. Can we start a live fan revolution for good instead of attention? Oh, that's good. Chanting "That's too far" was amazing to hear. Booing makes creative think you're still over as a wrestler, but actually vocalizing what's so terrible about the show could be helpful. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Repetition. Repetition.
I know. This is redundant. We saw this last week.
That's good.
JT Hossick, even the audience... Oh, sorry. Well, I already said that, so I was going to read the next question. Even the audience said Jinder went too far. There's heat, and then there's, well, the past 2 weeks of Jinder. How do you two feel about that, and when has this happened before where there is direct racism attached to a promo?
I don't know why the first thing that came to my mind was Scott Steiner, because I can't think of anything he did that was overtly racist, but it never would. I wouldn't have put it past. Oh, Triple H, Booker T.
Oh.
I mean, that was a little while ago, but yeah.
Yeah, that was really bad.
A guy like you isn't supposed to get to this level. And then he made Booker T job to him.
I know.
That was the pinnacle of the Reign of Terror.
I know. That was terrible.
The pinnacle.
Terrible.
That was awful. Jimmy Thomas, the Discord Club underboss. Do you guys think the fashion files haven't aired so they can refresh the material so it doesn't get stale to keep people wanting more? I would love to think that that was the reason.
I don't think they know who's behind the attacks on them. And that's why.
That's number two, but I also think it's because they just don't have room because they'd rather do Dolph Ziggler segments over and over again.
Have Dolph Ziggler do the Fashion Police's entrance then.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Michael Berry, is Kevin Owens the best NXT call-up excluding The Shield? I'm going to say, so far, to date, he has been the finest NXT call-up.
I'm trying to think of a... It's either him or Charlotte, right?
Yeah, but I feel like, yeah. Yeah, it's him or Charlotte.
Yeah, him or Charlotte.
Both have been on towards the top of the card their entire... You might want to turn those cards over because I can see them.
Oh, dear.
Towards the or in the upper mid card of their respective divisions their right, entire right. tenure so far.
Right, right.
Both have held the respective world titles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
Yeah, that's a toss-up.
Yeah. Let's see here.
I think that's all of them I liked.
Oh.
Oh, one more. Kingdom member Steve Kaharski.
Kaharski.
Hey, friendo. Still hoping to get a question read for the first time. Well, here you go. I see Kevin Owens getting a lot of heat on social media for his feud with the McMahon men. My question is it possible the WWE creative is booking Kevin Owens to be the biggest heel in the company?
Ooh.
Yes.
Yes.
If so, power rank the five talents that could potentially overtake him. Thanks, friendos. Too sweet handshake.
Five talents.
Five talents who could overtake him as top heel eventually? Baron Corbin, five.
That's definitely number five.
Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode, number one.
There you go.
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby.
Velveteen Dream. Baby. Okay, those are all good answers.
Yeah.
See if I had any more that were liked. Nope.
Before we get to trivia, I'm going to shout out the patrons because I don't think I've done that this week. I wanted to drop this name really quick. If this is his actual name, I'm amazed. Mutton Arbuckle. That's a fantastic name. He mentioned that he was a patron and never got a shout out, so pretty sure that's what he said. Oh, Hacksaw Ben Thuggin, a.k.a. Brett the Shitman Shart. So he didn't get a shout out, so I apologize, and there's your shout out. And Ethan Evans, baby, didn't get a shout out as well. I'm just making sure because I capped a couple of these on Patreon. Now I'm going to go and go pledged. No, that's internet. Pledged. And these are the patrons that we've brought on board since last week. Stephen Moore, Above Titles. Oh, I've read him for Alex C., our good friendo. John Cedarquist, Kevin Bland, Charvel Finds It Funny Myers, Aishak Kumar Kanumuri. That's a great name. Lauren Heilig, Kagan of the West, Michael HBK, Nico Suave Rigoli, Joe Says Hi, Freddy, your neighborhood friendo, Going in New Japan, Shea Lombard, Drew Padgett, William Faber, Eugene Reyna Jr., Connor McNamara, Aaron Furman, Robert Reed, and William Crawford. Want to say thanks to all of them. If you're a patron and you never got your shout out, please DM me at MFSteve here. I'll make sure you get your shout out.
Here, there's some really good artists. Names in here too. I want to give a shout out to Alex C. Andy War Machine Hall. That's good.
That's good.
Vincent Van Throw, you mentioned that one already. Neil Atchison, Salvador Kali.
Oh, you beat me on that one.
That's good.
That's good.
I think that's it. A couple good ones.
All right.
Those are great.
That's good. Really good.
All right, time for trivia.
Time for trivia. Not to be confused with chat trivia, which is coming up in the post show after we go off the air here. First, we're going to go with modern era.
Modern era. You start.
Big events. Who won the Champion of Champions match pitting the WWE Champion, World Heavyweight Champion, and ECW Champion against each other at Cyber Sunday 2006? This is going to be a pure guess for you because I never would have guessed this.
Cyber Sunday 2006.
Cyber Sunday 2006, Champion of Champions, all the
Triple
time. H. I mean, that's a great guess because why not? But it's King Booker.
Oh.
They did let him win that.
Cool.
So good for him.
Big events. Who won the 2010 revival of Tough Enough hosted by Stone Cold Steve Austin? You're never going to get this.
2010. Oh, man. You're right.
You're not going to get this.
All right. What is it?
Andy Levine.
Andy Levine.
Well, it's L-E-A-V-I-N-E.
Okay. You know what's funny is that I think he was on one of the Going In Raw views, or maybe it was just I was just watching it. And it was when Stone Cold was talking to him, and then he got interrupted by CM Punk. It was a CM Punk thing that I was watching.
Oh, okay.
I think that was him. Championships. What other legend teamed with Ric Flair to defeat the Spirit Squad for the World Tag Team Championship at Cyber Sunday 2006? Another Cyber Sunday 2006.
Legend, it said?
Another legend teamed with Ric Flair to defeat the Spirit Squad.
Steamboat.
Piper, evidently.
Championships. What diva won the WWE Women's Championship a record seventh time at Unforgiven 2006?
Trish Stratus.
Yep.
Superstar bio. What former WWE diva made the final five contestants in the 2010 season of Celebrity Apprentice? Ew. Celebrity Apprentice.
Maria Kanellis.
Very good. Very good.
What superstar teamed with the Animal to form a new incarnation of the Legion of Doom in 2005?
Draws.
No, Heidenreich.
Oh, okay. 2005. Yeah, probably wouldn't got that if I didn't jump the gun anyways. Big events in the Attitude Era. What older diva was the controversial winner of the Miss Rumble 2000 bikini contest at the 2000 Royal Rumble?
Oh, 2000. What older diva?
Yeah.
Mae Young?
Yeah.
Big events. The Big Show.
Well.
Debuted at St. Valentine's Day Massacre pay-per-view by attacking what steel cage opponent of Mr. McMahon?
And Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
Championships. The Rock and Sock Connection won their first World Tag Team Championship by beating the team of what two former WWE champions? So Rock and Mankind beat who for the Tag Team Championships?
Undertaker and Kane.
Close. Undertaker and Big Show.
Damn. Championships. What team defeated the New Age Outlaws, the World Tag Team titles in No Way Out 2000, the first of their eight championship reigns?
Edge and Christian.
Dudley Boys.
Oh, okay. Superstar bio. What future WWE champion debuted in WWE under the name The Ringmaster?
Oh, that's Stone Cold
Steve. You dumb son of a bitch.
Superstar bio. We need to get this for the tie, Steve. What WWE Hall of Famer trained Triple H to be a professional wrestler?
Killer Kowalski.
Yep. Tie.
Nice. Tie.
We all win.
Tie. Tie. Everybody wins. Anyways, that's it for today's show. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. We really appreciate it. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.